Welcome to Better Sex, where you get the information and inspiration to create and enjoy your best possible sex life. Join your host, sex therapist Jessa Zimmerman, as she brings you expert guests, helpful tips, knowledge, and strategies to improve your intimate relationships. And now, your host, Jessa Zimmerman.
Hey, this is Jessa. Welcome back to another episode of the Better Sex Podcast. Thank you for tuning in and choosing to spend a little bit of time with me. We are talking today about hooking up, casual sex, somewhat aimed at women. My guest, Leah Holmgren, has written a book, Hook Up Without Heartache, and it's sort of specifically talking to women. But as we mentioned in the very beginning, first of all, that's generalizations that men and women all, you know, they don't always experience the same things. There's more than two genders. There's sort of all those disclaimers. But she's talking about the differences in biology and in cultural expectations that we have in terms of our experiences of this, and do's and don'ts and tips for anybody who would like to hook up, to have casual sex. As she says, her book is neutral. It's not like promoting casual sex, but it's also not against it. It's about being supportive of anybody who would like that experience or is having that experience and wants to have that go well. So hopefully you'll get a ton out of it, find it interesting, male, female, or anywhere in between, or outside of that binary. I think there's some useful insight to hear for you. And before we start the show today, it is sponsored by Intimacy with Ease. It's a method to help otherwise happy couples achieve a sex life that is easy and fun for both of them, so that you can actually just enjoy your sex life with zero stress. For more information, if you want to watch a brief little training video that's available, all of that, go to intimacywithease.com. So, Leah, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It was so interesting that you wrote this book about hooking up. What is, I don't know, the history or the science behind this concept? Is this a brand new phenomenon, or is this gone on for as long as there have been people?
So, you know, it's very interesting. I've done so much research when I was writing this book because I always got hurt when I was hooking up. There were very little times when I had sex with someone and I would go home and I would just carry on with my day. Usually it left some kind of a emotion on me that was not always comfortable. And working as a coach for over a decade, I had so many women dealing with the same thing. And I was very upset that why women feel like that and men just move on and do their own thing on next day and completely forget about us, kind of. And maybe when they want to have sex again, they remember. And I've done this research and I digged really deep into neurobiology and biology in general and culture and upbringing. I was thinking, do we have different brains, or why is that that women just get disproportionately attached when we are having sex? And I found fascinating things. And also I have to say that the research that has been done on casual sex is mostly pointing on the negatives of hooking up. Just in recently, I think like past 10 years or 5 to 10 years, there's more and more research done that says it has also positive effects. And that to me was really interesting to see.
Yeah.
So the book is neutral. I am not advocating for casual sex and I'm not against it. I wanted to write it for women so they know what they are basically getting themselves into.
Yeah.
And also for men to understand, especially the part three is for men and women, that they understand why women act certain ways that are completely different to men after they have casual sex.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here thinking, you know, as a sex therapist, sort of thinking, first of all, there's not always just men and women, but gender's not so binary. And of course, there are generalizations built into this, right, around how men are, how women are. Yeah. And I get that that's useful, but I just sort of always, I also want to just acknowledge that there are individuals. I certainly work with men in my
practice
yeah.
who can get heartbroken too, right? Like it's not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in my disclaimer at the beginning of the book. Literally yeah. the last sentence of the disclaimer says, and please don't forget, men get hurt too.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes, this concept 100%. Of how can we hook up without heartbreak, no matter who you are, how you identify yeah. or something yeah. like that. But did you find in your research that some of this is cultural, you know, that there is something about our culture here in the US or in the Western world or something that's different about this than the other societies?
Well, we are definitely going through transition where casual sex is more accepted, but there are still really huge double standards. And I know we shouldn't generalize. I don't like doing it myself, but there truly are double standards when men are hooking up how the society views them and when women are hooking up. And the worst part is that oftentimes women are actually shaming other women because of casual sex. So truly, like, the goal of the book is to also fight against this, that women should be aware of, we are allowed to enjoy our sexuality. They should be aware of these double standards that are existing, and we should stick together. And basically, if you want to have hookups, please go for it. Enjoy. You have your life to live. And if you feel like it's not for you, then don't do it. You know, right.
But you don't have to shame anybody else over it
exactly.
either. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's culture for sure. But I still think that when you look at the world in general, there are so many religions and other cultures, they are super strict towards women. So we are still fortunate, actually, to be able to enjoy our sexuality the way we are.
Yeah, that's true. In some ways, we're one of the more progressive societies, I suppose, for this. And still, we look at the taboos and the double standards and the burden and the shame that can be associated with this. Okay.
And that's a goal of the book too. I just want women to get rid of the shame and fear because, as I said, we are going through transition, but the generations older than me, even me, when I was growing up, girls were not supposed to have sex. Like, we were supposed to wait for the right guy. And, you know, when guys are having sex, it's like the stud versus slut attitude.
Yeah.
And I don't think that has place in our society anymore.
Right. So how, I mean, again, we've acknowledged we're generalizing to some degree, but how is it different for men versus women or some people versus other people in terms of how they experience hookups or casual sex, like what kind of impact it has? Or
so I discovered that if you're promiscuous or not is literally genetic, but we know the area of epigenetics, which means we can change our genetic information through thinking and environment. So someone might be born and have genes for being promiscuous and cheating and hooking up a lot, but through the upbringing and through thinking, okay, I can do this, I don't have to be hooking up, you literally can change the behavior. So that was quite like a strawberry on the top of the cake, that, wow, epigenetics work around hookups too. But when it comes to guys, what I found out from the evolution, so there is a fish way of having babies and raising babies and the elephant way.
Okay.
But men love to choose the fish strategy, which means they would love to have as many babies as possible with as many partners as possible and not really taking care of them and just, you know, I have 500 little fish. Some of them will survive. Some of them will not. Who cares? I'm going, you know, finding more fish. But the elephant strategy is what women like. They want to have less children, offspring, and with less partners, and make sure that they take care of the offspring so the offspring survives, which is important for the human evolution. So, but women are driving the bus here, so thankfully,
our biology has something to do with that, right? We can't have definitely. 500 babies.
Yeah. No, we can't. Well, yeah, we definitely have way more energy than we need to have a baby, and we have to be more choosy, which is why women are not having sex with everyone. But if men could, they are much less juicy, basically.
Yeah. Now, again, that's a generalization. I'm imagining somebody listening to the podcast thinking, I don't want 500 babies. I'm invested in my own children. I mean, is this where the epigenetics comes in, or at least the thinking part of our brain that can make choices?
Yeah, there are also men, they are monogamous, of course. Mm-hmm. There are also women, they don't want monogamy. But
right.
the bigger amount of people and the percentage, this is what majority would choose. You know, you have always exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
You know, and also men fall in love, but there is definitely less amount of men. They get heartbroken after having sex a couple of times and then not hearing from the woman again. Then if it happens to the woman, we take it more seriously. And then again, like, oxytocin comes to play, because when woman has sex, the amount of oxytocin her body produces is so much greater than in men.
Really?
She's way more attached. Mm-hmm. She way more attached than men. I mean, it feels good for men too, but the amounts are much, much higher, which like oxytocin is very interesting. It's a neurotransmitter and it's a hormone as well. When woman is breastfeeding and when we are having sex, especially when we reach orgasm, we produce so much oxytocin. And that's why, you know, we say in pop culture way, if someone makes me come, I will fall in love. But it's not really I'm in love, but the oxytocin makes me feel like I'm in love. And I write about it a lot in the book. Say, hey, give it 14 days because that's about the time when you're completely high on oxytocin. It's almost like being high on drugs, basically. And after the 14 days, you will think rationally because sometimes we feel we're in love with someone and it's someone who doesn't deserve us to give him so much time.
Yeah.
And we're wasting our time then, you know, and women have the problem. We cannot compartmentalize like men can. So we are thinking about someone. We can focus on work. We, you know, we are like not in the mood to see friends and men just go to work and that's it. And again, like exceptions to the rule, but I work mostly, I was helping women with this. So I'm a coach and I love to empower women. So that's why I wrote the book mostly for women. But again, right. It will be interesting to read for men too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this leads into like, what are some of the do's and don'ts? Like if people are interested in casual sex and want that for themselves and make that decision or discernment or something, how to go about that safely, both physically and for your heart, you know?
Yeah. So I have a big chapter in the book that talks about pros and cons of hookups. So if woman already hooked up and she's in pain, I provide 24 tips how to get over this pain and how to basically forget about the guy, how to communicate as well. Because sometimes the man also want to see the woman again. They are interested, but there is a communication issue. And then a lot of times people are waiting for the other party to reach out. And then they are reading through the lines, between the lines, and they are like making assumptions. There is unclear communication and right. It creates a big mess that is unnecessary. So I focus a lot on the communication. And I also think that nowadays, women are allowed to be the first one who reach out. Like there were many books in the past that were telling women, no, you're not supposed to reach out. You're not supposed to take the first step. I disagree.
Yeah.
You know, like, why not? If I loved spending time with a guy, I can text him and say, hey, I enjoyed your company. Sex was great. How about we meet next week?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think that's totally fine.
So how else, let's stay on that theme for a minute, 24 tips to get over something. Like, I don't know if that includes being ghosted, like talk about lack of communication.
Yes, 100%. But, it's there. Yeah, it is there.
Mm-hmm. So what are a couple of those tips?
So for example, I mean, I have tips on the date as well. So like how to be safe. I have tips, for example, don't drink, you know, I don't think it's good to drink on the first date. And I have tips on the communication. What do you do if he replies and his reply is lame? Like how to basically decode. And for the book, I also interviewed 50 men. So for example, if man says, I'm busy, he's not busy. He just doesn't want to see you again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the tip. Like what do you do when this happens? When he goes, I mean, honestly, who does that?
Yeah.
It's the worst. Like, be happy that he never reached out to you because you don't want to be around guys like that.
Right.
And then also,
right.
like, how to love yourself, you know, how to not feel like a victim, how to get rid of fear and shame. Because a lot of times women, after they hook up, they feel very ashamed next day. And I really want them to appreciate the moment, appreciate the experience. It was nice. It is something that I learned something through the experience. I don't feel ashamed. I enjoyed my body and that's it. And if I never see this guy anymore, it's something I learned through.
Mm-hmm.
An experience that taught me something. So it's like very spiritual too. There are many tips on how to basically love yourself and how to move on when it doesn't work, how to communicate, how to be safe around hookups. And when you go for the first time hookup, where to meet, you know, and God forbid something happens. I also give tips how to communicate if God forbid something happens, like sexual assault or harassment, that women should not keep it as a secret anymore and, you know, go to police or share it with friends and community.
Yeah.
Because I think these things need to be solved immediately.
It's Jessa here, just taking a quick break. Thanks for listening. Are you interested in being a guest on the show? I'm always looking for people with expertise to share that could enrich other people's sex lives. And I'm also interested in hearing from people who have transformed their own intimate relationship and would want to share their story with my listeners. So if you've got something to contribute to the discussion and want to see about being featured on an upcoming episode, please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, and check out the Be a Guest details. You'll find everything you need there. Do you talk in the book about, I'm not quite sure how to ask this, like the right reasons to hook up versus the wrong reasons? Like, how can somebody really discern their motivation to make sure it's a health, you know, they're making this choice from like a healthy place, right? A place that's nourishing for them.
I have the, there's a tip on that too. I basically want that woman sits down with herself and imagines that she's having sex with the guy. She's spending night with him and then imagines how does it feel next day? Do I really want to do it? Also knowing your intentions, like a lot of women have sex, but they want to have intimacy or closeness. They want to hang out with someone being hugged and kissed. And they think that the only way to get this is having sex. And then they are having sex with someone and they don't really want to do it. They feel uncomfortable. So I really want the woman to be honest with herself. Say, hey, why I want to hang out with this man? What is so great about him? Do I want fun? Do I just want to have sex and orgasm and that's it? Or am I looking for love? If I'm looking for love, and I'm hoping through sex I'm going to get love, then I might not sleep with him immediately. Because I agree, like, there are a little bit different terms for a partnership than when you just want to hook up. So these are the tips also. It's very important to know yourself and what you really want.
Yeah. And then I'm imagining some people are in some sort of friends with benefits kind of situation where they're having some, you know, they have an ongoing relationship with somebody and the sex is sort of casual. And for some people, or maybe one of the two people, that's working great. And maybe the other person is really wishing it would transform, you know, into another kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. Is having sex in that situation helpful, or is it more, I don't know. How do you advise people about that?
I have that tip as well. So basically when you are having sex with benefits and you start falling in love, you know that you're falling in love. You need to really be honest about it, because I think longer you're going to keep it going and being more and more in love and the other person is not interested, the more and more difficult it's going to be to break up. Or I can't say break up because you're friends with benefits, but basically stop being intimate. So I think at some point when you feel you're falling in love, I would be honest about it. I would just say, you know what, I really enjoy time with you, but I'm falling in love with you. So I have to know if there is a chance that we become something more, or if that's not a chance for you, I will probably have to put a break on our relationship for a bit because I will be hurting then. And I think it is truly that case. Imagine you're sleeping with someone for a year or two and then it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Just honesty. I think like honesty and clear communication helps a lot in those cases. And you know, what bothered me a lot in the past as well, that men said oftentimes, oh, I had sex with a girl and she's so clingy. Women are not clingy, but they get attached because of, as I said, hormonal reasons and cycle, you know, pregnancy reasons, because from our past, now we have birth control, but we haven't had birth control before. So imagine women in the past, like a long time, thousands of years ago, she would have sex with someone and now she has to make sure that this male partner stays around her because she will not be able to survive alone with the child.
Yeah.
You know, there are predators everywhere. So she wants the man to stick around for a bit until at least she knows that she's pregnant or not. And I feel like this is so deeply rooted in us that we almost kind of need the man around for a bit. And I can see that. I mean, it's really this 14 days. It's so interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah. It's like this 14 days, like you start getting like the attachment is fading kind of.
But it also means if you have sex with somebody within that 2 weeks, you're sort of constantly, you're sort of reinforcing this, right? Yeah.
But the book is more really for casual sex and hookups. Like, for example, you have casual sex with someone and then you feel bad about yourself, or a woman that is sad the guy doesn't reach out. She doesn't know how to ask him again out, or if he's even worth it. And then for women, they never had casual sex. They're thinking about it. As I said, there are the pros and cons of hookups. I have 10 pros and 10 cons of hookups. And then, you know, it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. Some people are more emotional and some people deal with the casual sex better. And I also found an amazing research study that shows that if someone has positive outlook on casual sex and is more open-minded, most likely this person will have much better feelings after casual sex. People, they are more conservative and they think like casual sex is dirty or it's not appropriate and they will have casual sex, they might feel really bad afterwards.
Well, yeah. I mean, that makes total sense, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Even in relationships, I see that with couples that I work with, right? Like if they've mm-hmm. brought in a bunch of baggage around negativity around sex, even sex with their spouse, they can feel bad about. So
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So what should... You mentioned before we started recording a little bit about having a chapter for men in this book, like the mm-hmm. the people on the other side of this coin who maybe have an easier time with casual sex, don't get attached, are mm-hmm. treating it like that. What do they need to know or what kind of responsibilities do they have to really be good partners?
So I basically wrote some sentences for guys, how to clear up the mess after hookup, because if guy wants to be around the woman, there is no problem. Sure, there's meeting. But if he doesn't, most of guys decide to lie or they just basically ghost or they come up with something ridiculous. And I don't think it's fair because truth hurts. So they don't need to be completely direct so they don't hurt someone, but they also shouldn't lie, you know, about things because a lot of women will wait and, you know, I'm busy and it's just wasting their time. So I just wrote a chapter on how to communicate and how to be kind about the response. And I also suggest that they reach out and make a closure or give an explanation if the woman is asking.
Right. And there's some way to explain that without being cruel, right?
Exactly.
Like that's the thing. Yeah.
Yes, that's the thing, you know? Because being honest, but being honest in a way doesn't hurt the others, which is very difficult to do. And so I'm teaching a little bit of that. And again, like the book is for women, there's parts for men. I think honestly, if guys read this 24 tips, it's the same principle. So it's just probably interesting because I read it for women and there are a lot of stories from dating, which a lot of them are really funny and entertaining. So I think guys can totally read the book.
Right. I'm imagining that hooking up is a whole different thing in this day and age with all the technology we have. Like it's easy to make connections, right? It's easy to make plans. It's easy then to ghost, I would imagine, in some way too, right? Like what's the impact of social media and technology on the situation?
So I have that part in the book as well. And I think that with having this possibility of hooking up is only one swipe away through the apps, it makes us not desiring people as much. I think it creates kind of a FOMO and kind of like always looking for the bigger and better thing for men and women. Like women always look for the richer guy, more successful guy. And oftentimes, not always, but men also like have Instagram where at this point, every other girl is basically doing softcore porn and men are fed up with like nudity everywhere and pretty women. So like, also, what I'm writing about is the unrealistic expectations, like women using all these filters. And it's like magazines before, but now every woman can do it. Before, only models were able to have this kind of pictures. But now anyone can pay $50 a year for an app and change their face. And then I saw guys saying, oh, my God, there are so many beautiful women. And they expect dating these avatar looking women. They don't exist. Like this is not how women are waking up in the morning. And it creates this form on like feeling like I don't have the best looking woman and there's so many. Why would I like settle down for this one when I have 10 others on my Instagram or Tinder? And I don't think it's healthy for us, quite frankly. I am not advocating for this because it just creates frustration and in many people also depression. And then I'm as a coach, I work with men. They are in their 40s and they never had long-term relationship. They're completely confused because they don't know what to choose. And there are research studies showing that when we have too many choices, we are actually unhappy with that.
Yeah.
It makes us unhappy because we are overwhelmed. We don't know what to choose and we are just having anxiety. So yeah, I don't like the apps personally, but you know, it is the world.
It's a reality though, right?
It's reality. Yeah. It's sad reality. And we have to just be rational about it, you know, because we will not be happy if we are seeking constantly something for something better and bigger and more beautiful.
Yeah. It also seems like, I mean, is this true that there's an impact on safety with apps? Like it's easy to sort of pretend to be somebody you aren't or to put yourself forward as I don't know, maybe we have less insight into who somebody really is. You know, we didn't meet them at work or we didn't meet them in person someplace like we might have used to.
You know, I think actually social media are a good indicator of the personality because like, for example, Tinder is linked to Facebook. you know, their dating website linked to Instagram, I think that we can look at the person's life. We can look at their friends. We can look if we have mutual friends. It happened to me many times that the girlfriends of mine would reach out and say, hey, I recently met this guy on a date. I Googled him. I saw him on Facebook. He's your friend. What can you tell about him? If there is no mutual friends whatsoever on Instagram, Facebook, on Twitter, on none of those, whether you have nobody to ask, actually, then I would be more careful, of course. But we I think it's actually safer because there is so much information. We have no privacy whatsoever at this point.
True.
So like you can Google pretty much anything you want. But the other thing is like people can lie on social media.
Yeah.
And you know how it is. Like Instagram, everyone is beautiful. LinkedIn, everyone is successful, like blah, blah, blah. So I would not necessarily believe the stuff that's on social media, maybe a 5% of that. But the indicator of mutual friends is good. I would ask.
Yeah.
I think it's totally fine to ask.
Right. All right. So talk just a bit about where people can get the book or where they can learn more about you and your coaching.
Yeah. So the book is currently on Amazon, on Target, on Barnes & Noble, Hook Up Without Heartbreak. The launch is on October 26th. Right now one can order. It's in pre-order status. And yeah, the book will be delivered by the end of this month. And my coaching is just simple. My first and last name, leahholmgren.com, where people can reach out to me via email or phone. And I do coaching online right now.
Great. I will include all of that in the show notes too, so it's easy for people to get in touch.
Thank you so much. So,
thank you so much for taking the time.
Of course. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Better Sex. Please visit our website, bettersexpodcast.com, for show notes and additional episodes.
And that's a wrap for today. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are enjoying the podcast, if some of this material resonates with you and you would like to make a difference and make sure that this keeps coming out in the world once a week, ongoing, there are a couple things you could do to show your appreciation. The first would be to go to iTunes and rate and review the show. That really helps us be found by new listeners when you review the show on iTunes. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/iTunes. The other thing I want to invite you to consider is becoming a Patreon. For a small monthly pledge, you get some benefits. So for $2 a month, you get advance access to every single episode. For $5 a month, you get a chapter of my upcoming new book. And for $10 a month, I host quarterly get to know you and question and answer chats over the web, and you get invited to that. I would love to have your membership in that become part of the Better Sex family. You can find a link at bettersexpodcast.com/Patreon, which is Patreon. Again, thanks for listening. I'm glad you're here. Feel free to comment, ask questions, get in touch. I'd love to hear from listeners. Thanks.